In the year 1991, U.S. Flight 1313 soared unknowing unto its death. As the vessel sank into the ocean's depths, three boys washed ashore on Skull Face Island. Near death, pursued by vicious creatures, the boys stumbled upon shelter. Who built it and for what purpose, none could say. But, to their shock and amazement, a 55-inch TV glowed within, streaming every movie ever made.
I'd stick my neck out for nobody.
What the hell is this?
You're an inhuman monster!
I said good day!
After 20 years struggling for survival, they managed to repair the shelter's communication device. Perhaps someday, they'll be rescued. But until then, they'll watch and discuss movies, hoping, praying you're listening.
Hello and welcome. This is Adam Fraser, aka Famous Monster, and you are listening to Skull Face Island, the official movie podcast of geeksofdoom.com. As always, I'm joined by Richard Dreyfuss's stunt double, David Allen.
Hello.
And a man who enjoys his occasional white wine spritzer, producer Tim Grant.
Hello, thank you. You are so right about that. Enjoying one right now.
I can tell.
Yeah.
Today on the show, we're going to talk about Sam Fell and Chris Butler's stop-motion animated film Paranorman, as well as Simon West's Expendables 2, and we'll help get the ball rolling on some movies you feel need to be remade. But first, Tim, flip the switch on the Geek-O-Matic news machine. Yes.
Got it.
All right, what kind of news are we looking at here?
Well, first thing is Fox requests for extension on Daredevil property denied. Rights will return to Marvel.
Yeah, it looks like Variety is reporting that Fox turned in an extension request to keep the character, but that request was denied. And that means that Joe Carnahan isn't going to get to make his 70s gritty Daredevil movie.
Right. Which, I mean, we don't know that for sure, because he put out his little sizzle reel online, which is on YouTube.
Yeah, and it looks great. And I hope that Marvel is paying attention and they pick it up.
Right.
Because it definitely looks like it has some promise.
Up next, we've got some sad news. For those of you who were not aware, Top Gun director Tony Scott jumps to his death from a bridge recently. As far as we know, as what they've released is that he pulled up in his car and then just took his own life. So there was a suicide note that was left in the car. There doesn't sound like that's going to be released.
Yeah. You know, I'd say in the last few years, Tony Scott really hasn't gotten much credit for a lot of the stuff he's did, but he's did some great films like The Hunger, Top Gun, True Romance, Days of Thunder, Crimson Tide.
Yeah.
And even his, you know, more recent movies like Man on Fire was great, I thought.
Yeah, I'm a big Man on Fire fan. I didn't see it, but I heard Unstoppable was actually a much better film than you would have assumed just watching a trailer about a train that can't stop.
Yeah.
But they said it was just like a really classic kind of action film. Yeah, it's a bummer. I mean, he was very talented, and I don't know.
Yeah, and he had a couple of projects in the works. I think he actually had just finished scouting some locations for Top Gun 2 with Tom Cruise, and he was working on a Wild Bunch remake, so.
Yeah.
It's sad.
Yeah. All right, and then the last bit of news for this week, Akira Kurosawa's Rashomon hits Blu-ray on November 6th.
Yes.
For those of you who are not familiar, Akira Kurosawa is considered by many to be the greatest filmmaker of all time, including myself.
You just throw that out there. Yeah. I mean, I'll agree with it. I love him, but
the guy is unstoppable. But Rashomon is a really important film in cinematic history for a number of reasons. One, not a lot of people know this. It's the first movie that we know of where the camera recorded the sun.
Huh.
Yeah, they didn't know if it would burn the film or not.
I did not know that.
The cinematographer was like, hey, can I shoot this scene with the sun above the trees? And Kurosawa was like, yeah, go for it. I don't care about a budget.
Wow.
And then it worked, yeah. And then it also went to the Venice Film Festival, I think was the first Japanese film to ever be given the Golden Lion, and it just sort of opened up the world's interest in Japanese cinema, and it was sort of like the introduction of Japanese cinema to the world, so it's pretty, and it's a really unusual story in the sense that it's one event told from the perspective of, I think, four or five different people.
Yeah, yeah.
And you're never really given a straight answer.
What's what? What's the
right.
real? Yeah.
Very unusual sort of storytelling method at the time. Still not really used very often. But a good reference is Zhang Yimou's Hero with Jet Li from a couple years ago is kind of a remake of Rashomon.
Yeah.
In a lot of ways.
Well, yeah, this Criterion Blu-ray set looks pretty awesome. It's going to have a new digital restoration with an uncompressed audio soundtrack, and I think I saw it said it has a new English translation, so that, mm-hmm. that will be interesting.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, I can't wait. I love all of his films, and anytime one comes out on Blu-ray, it's really an event, so
right,
looking
right.
forward to it.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay.
All right.
Then I guess what's next is talk about this week's movies.
It's movie time. The small New England town of Blythe Hollow comes under siege by the undead. Only a misunderstood local boy named Norman Babcock, voiced by Cody Smith McPhee, has the ability to speak with the dead and is able to prevent the destruction of his town by a centuries-old witch's curse.
Meet Norman.
Can't you be like other kids your age?
His parents don't get him.
He's probably up there fiddling with his Ouija or his orb.
Harry.
His sister doesn't like him.
You are such a loser.
And the kids at school.
Look, it's abnormal.
Always pick on him. But he does have some friends.
Norman, wait up.
I like to be alone.
So do I. Let's do it together.
It's just that most of them.
Good morning.
Aren't exactly alive.
All right, Paranorman.
Yes.
Directed by Sam Fell and Chris Butler.
Mm-hmm.
Written by Chris Butler. Produced by, how do you say this?
I'm assuming Leica.
Leica?
Yeah, I think it's Leica. I actually knew a woman whose Leaky, name was spelled like this.
Leaky Lee?
Yeah, Leaky Lee, yeah. No, it's Swedish.
I'm sorry.
It's different.
Yeah, yeah. The folks that did Coraline.
Right, right.
Leica.
Like a lake.
It's like a lake, but da-dum-tsh.
All right.
Paranorman.
Yes. Paranorman. I thought it was great.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed it. What about you?
Yeah, I loved it.
Okay.
I'm not the biggest animation nut. Like, I really like stop-motion animation stuff, mm-hmm. like Coraline or even Corpse Bride and Nightmare Before Christmas and all that stuff. But the thing that I really enjoyed about the movie the most was just the subject matter. Like, it didn't shy away from adult issues or, you know, mm-hmm. like, harsh realities of growing up, like death or even being bullied and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And it also was a very, like, spot-on homage to 70s and 80s horror movies. They're, like, the soundtrack is very much inspired by John Carpenter.
Mm-hmm.
And it even opens with that great feature presentation.
Yeah. Yeah.
Even with the aspect ratio and everything, where it mimics a kind of a 60s horror movie.
Yeah, the opening, like, 5 to 7 minutes of this movie are awesome. I don't want to say too much, because I really feel like that was one of the coolest things about the movie, was that sort of surprise intro.
Yeah.
And so, but it's a very blatant homage to a lot of that stuff, and it's fantastic. And it really just kind of, I think, sets the tone for the whole film so well. Like, cause
yeah.
that, like, I know both of us were just...
Yeah,
they got us.
They had me at that
right
moment.
At the beginning.
Yeah,
so
and it's got an excellent cast of voice actors: Cody Smith McPhee, which is the kid from The Road, who
I didn't know.
You
that.
Know that kid. He's so good at like conveying that mm-hmm. isolation and the loneliness, even in just his voice. You know,
yeah.
Anna Kendrick, Casey Affleck, John Goodman, Jeff Garlin, Christopher Mintz-Plasse, Leslie Mann.
Just
a ton of great voice actors.
Mm-hmm.
What did you think about the characters? Did they keep you invested? Were you interested in the story?
Yeah, I thought, actually, that's one of the things I was really impressed with by this movie, was that every single person in the film was really interesting. And even in a sense, they did this great thing in the movie where a lot of the characters, like the sort of like supporting characters, are very, very typical for these kind of genre films. But they still managed to give every one of them enough time to sort of flip that expectation on its head a little bit and just be really interesting, really human and relatable. And it was, I thought all the voice acting was great. I'm happy to see Jeff Garlin in anything. So I'm a huge fan of Jeff Garlin.
Yeah.
But yeah, and Casey Affleck too.
He was great.
He plays the older brother of a friend of
Norman's.
Yeah, of Norman's. And he is just the typical 80s
like musclehead
dude. And he's fantastic.
Yeah.
And there was actually a point while watching the movie where I couldn't really figure out who he was because he was just nailing this role so well.
Yeah.
So.
And it's so weird to see Casey Affleck's voice come out of like a teenage boy where you start, you're like, is that Casey Affleck?
Right.
Yeah, I think it is. Another one of my favorite things about the movie is that it reminded me of all the movies that I actually watched as a kid in the 80s, like Goonies, Stand By Me, you know, movies that treated kids like adults and didn't, what's the word I'm looking for?
It didn't speak down to them.
Yeah, that's right. Sorry, I'm kind of drunk.
Those are a couple words.
Oh, you're right. Those are a couple words. I'm not drunk. I got bitten by something outside.
Yeah.
I was out there just lining up some coconuts, and a giant dragonfly bit me, and now I've got some sort of... I don't know if it's West Nile. Could be East Nile. Could be down South Nile.
I mean, we don't even know where we are.
Sure.
So geographically...
The compass just spins.
We don't know how to refer to your Nile disease.
Right. It can't be avian bird flu because it was a giant fucking dragonfly.
Yeah, and there haven't been birds on this island for like 100 years.
Yeah.
According to legend.
I was going to ask you why you sounded so bad.
Congested, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's the allergies on Skullface Island are a killer.
Yeah, I mean, you guys can't see this, but Adam's actually in... an actual like bubble.
Yeah, I'm in a bubble that's wrapped with a mosquito net to make sure.
Just to make sure to keep him safe, and to keep Tim and I safe.
Yeah, that's right.
Because if Adam gets us sick, I don't know about you, Tim. I'm gonna be pretty pissed off.
Yeah, I'll definitely be pissed.
I won't be happy.
I mean, we've been through a lot. 20 years, thick and thin, guys. Can't we just let a little dragon flu bug just fly over?
No. No.
Does this have anything to do with your review on Paranorman?
He's explaining why he sounds a little congested. I feel like I agree with him giving
a backstory
so the people know why.
I feel like I'm a dead person, Tim, and in this movie, Paranorman can talk to dead people.
So are you saying that this movie was so good that it spoke to you?
Exactly what I'm saying. The movie spoke to me in a way that I didn't anticipate. But yeah, it definitely reminded me of those kinds of movies like Beetlejuice and stuff, where it was really funny, but at the same time, it was a little spooky and a little scary, and there were some kids that were crying and kind of screaming, and I took personal joy in that while I was watching it, because there's nothing I like more than seeing a child be afraid for its life.
Right.
Is that normal? Would you consider that to be a weird... Should I be experiencing those feelings?
I think it's fine.
I think it's fine.
Okay, good.
Yeah. So what did we think about, I mean, just the overall film? Like, do you think they nailed it? How does this compare to something like Coraline? Like,
I think it nailed it. In terms of comparing it to Coraline, I think Coraline was a lot darker, more mature story that had a lot more subtext going on in it.
Right.
You know, if you wanted to compare it to, like, The Dark Knight, whereas Paranorman is probably something like The Avengers, you know. Mm-hmm. It was more face value and just fun and embraced the spookiness of it. But I loved it. And, again, I'm not a huge animation nut, so I think it'll probably be my favorite animated movie of the year.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm going to hold out on that until, you know, the rest of the year comes by.
Sure.
But
Frankenweenie and whatnot.
It's definitely a contender. I mean, it's really good, and I agree. I think on just about every level, they kind of they hit it out of the park, and it's exactly what I think they intended it to be.
Yeah.
And I mean, I think this is great. We don't get to see like really great kids movies that are in these kinds of genres, like the horror genre and stuff like that.
Right.
They don't come along very very often. Like Monster House a couple years ago.
Yeah, Monster House is another movie I was going to mention. Yeah. That it really reminded me of.
Monster Squad.
Yeah.
It reminded me of from the 80s, which if you haven't seen, it's an excellent movie. I mean, just stuff like that. And those are always so good.
Yeah.
Like it's weird that they don't, and people don't try it more often.
The key to those movies and the reason they're so good is because what you have now with a lot of these so-called kids movies like Shrek and Madagascar and all the talking animal movies.
So DreamWorks.
Yeah, exactly. Kung Fu Panda, all that shit. Let's try to make this movie bearable for adults because there's absolutely nothing going on in the movie. So let's throw in some adult jokes that'll go over the heads of the kids. So what you have is this completely asinine, immature, shallow story of just, you know, talking animals goofing around. And then you'll have the occasional, like, weird, like, fart joke or some sort of weird, like, you know, sex joke or something that the kids aren't going to understand. And that...
Kids will forever understand fart jokes.
Oh, well, yes. Oh, absolutely. But not sex jokes.
Sex jokes, they won't.
Sure. Yeah.
But, I know, I agree. I think that's a problem within kids' movies is this idea that you're going to, you know... You do want to try and speak to them both in different ways, but this one worked.
Yeah,
I think this one worked really well. I think just about anybody would enjoy it.
All right. Well, again, you know, standard movie rating scale. Not going to bother explaining it. I'm giving this movie 4 bananas.
Oh goodness.
3 coconuts. And a shrunken head.
Oh, I like that. I like that. I'm going to give this one 5 bananas.
Whoa.
And a daisy.
Oh, a daisy.
Yeah.
Daisy.
Wow, I haven't seen a daisy come out in a while.
Well, you know, it made me feel really good.
That's good. And so, Tim didn't see it, so...
His opinion doesn't matter
at all. Yeah, fuck off, Tim.
I was carving a canoe out of one piece of wood.
Wait, you were carving a canoe out of a piece of wood with the same piece of wood?
I'm sorry. Yeah, hold on.
How does a canoe carve itself?
What? No. I had a tree.
Oh, well, yeah.
I started with the whole tree, and I started carving, and I'm carving it into a canoe that we can use.
What are you using to carve it?
It's several shark's tooths.
Oh.
Or teeth,
you see,
as
this
some
is,
people say.
Tim is always so industrious. He's off, like, I never see Tim during the day. He's, like, off backpacking through the jungle. He's getting shit done. I'm sitting in the treehouse in a pair of, like, Budweiser sleep shorts.
Yeah.
That was from the wreckage, you know.
Yeah.
And I'm just sprawled out watching Breaking Bad or The Wire or something. Tim's out there getting shit done.
Right. Which, by the way, is really annoying right now because when you're in your bubble, it totally takes up the entire couch.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
And there's I got to sit on the floor.
I got
bamboo sticks.
I ordered a Papasan chair. You know, one of those.
Oh, yeah.
I ordered one from IKEA to sit my bubble in.
Oh, if anybody can find us, it's IKEA.
Simon West, director of The Mechanic, takes over directing duties for Sylvester Stallone with Expendables 2, the sequel to Stallone's 2010 bullet-blasted action flick. Written by Richard Mink, who did 16 Blocks, and Stallone, Expendables 2 features an all-star lineup of 80s and 90s action stars and their new school successors.
What do you want from me, church?
I knew the day would come when you were going to pay me back. You can't let the contents of that safe fall into the wrong hands.
Track them, find them, kill them.
You're going to need more men if you expect to get out of here alive.
It'll terminate
in your dreams.
Here we come!
So the Expendables 2 features Barney Ross, who's played by Sylvester Stallone, and he leads a team of badasses which consists of Jason Statham, Jet Li, Terry Crews, Randy Couture, Dolph Lundgren. And in this outing, Liam Hemsworth, who plays like the rookie on the squad. Now, Liam Hemsworth is Chris Hemsworth's younger brother.
Right.
He was in Hunger Games. He's like, is he dating Miley Cyrus? I don't know.
Aren't there 3 Hemsworths?
There's at least 3.
No.
They use his name in the trailer where it shows like everybody's last names. Stallone, Schwarzenegger, Hemsworth. It's like a trick to be like, oh, holy shit, is Thor in this movie?
Yeah.
Like, oh, shit, that's weird. So in this one, Mr. Church, which is Bruce Willis's character, he assembles the team for one more job. They have to retrieve this, you know, top secret package from a...
Do they call it the church assembly?
I see what you did there. Yeah, that's
clever. Hey, it's got to be better than the jokes that are actually in the movie.
That's, well, yeah. Yeah, we'll get to that. But yeah, they have to retrieve some MacGuffin from a shot down plane in Albania, which is when they encounter the villain, Jean Villain. Yeah, that's right. The bad guy's name is actually Villain. Jean Villain, played by Jean-Claude Van Damme.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Oh, and Jean-Claude Van Damme is definitely the highlight of this movie.
Yeah.
At one point, he does a jumping, like, crane kick and kicks a huge Rambo knife right into some guy's heart.
That sounds wonderful.
Yeah.
Actually.
It is. You're right. In addition to Jean-Claude being in the movie, Arnold Schwarzenegger's character, Trench, who made a very brief cameo in the first movie, he gets an expanded role. He joins up with the team, as well as a character named Booker, who they call the Lone Wolf, who is none other than Chuck Norris.
Ugh.
How do you feel about Chuck Norris?
I try not to feel about him in general, so you've upset me by even bringing this up.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. Those sidekicks is kind of a personal favorite of mine.
You know, I watched a lot of Chuck Norris movies as a kid, and I don't really know why, but one sticks out in my mind, and that's this movie Octagon.
Oh, yeah.
Where he's like a ninja, and he infiltrates this ninja hideout, and he just kicks everybody's ass with roundhouse kicks. But that's neither here nor there. Expendables 2 is definitely a parody of those, you know, 80s action flicks, and that's actually why it works. To an extent, it's not a great movie by any stretch of the imagination. It's not going to stack up against The Raid, Redemption, or even the Elite Squad movies, you know. But it is one of those movies for guys who like movies. It's this testosterone-fueled, you know, truck filled with kick-ass that's trying to barrel down the highway and knock you over. And
oh, man.
Yeah.
That was a packed metaphor. He ran just right by us.
Yeah.
Really quick. You just, like got a little quieter, you just leaning this way, and you're just knock you over street. All right, bye.
Like I said, Van Damme steals the show with his over the top bad guy shtick. He's definitely channeling Bloodsport, which I love. I fucking love Bloodsport.
Yeah.
And Kickboxer. And then you've got Terry Crews showing up. He gets a little more action this time around.
That's good. I like Crews.
I would love to see him in a Luke Cage movie. Marvel, if you're listening, I think he would be awesome for that.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, I mean, the movie is filled with ridiculous one-liners. It's so cheesy. They're all, at one point, all the characters are referencing the movies that their co-stars have been in. So you have Bruce Willis saying, "I'll be back." And then you have Schwarzenegger saying, "Yippee-ki-yay." And at one point, someone asked, I think they asked Stallone, "Who do you think you are, Rambo?" That's what's going on the whole movie. They even take an opportunity to work in some of the Chuck Norris facts, like the classic internet meme.
This is going to upset me even more.
Yeah, they work those into the script. Like, all that's missing is Vinnie Jones shows up dressed up as the Juggernaut and yells, "I'm the Juggernaut, bitch." Like, that's the, if they had that in the movie, that would be the cherry on top.
Vinnie Jones has got to be in the next one.
Yeah, you're right. He should be.
Why didn't we think about him?
I don't know.
From our last discussion.
Probably because Brett Ratner's X-Men 3.
All right. Well, overall, you thought it was kind of successful? There's a parody, but... It's just sort of a...
I definitely did not hate it, but I would not watch it again.
Okay.
And I would not seek out...
How does it stack up to the first one?
I would say it's better just because it's more ridiculous.
Yeah.
And it owns up to that. So it's slightly more enjoying to watch.
A bit more aware of itself.
Yeah.
But,
you know, that's for a movie that considers itself an old school action movie, there's way too much CGI in this movie. There's CG helicopters. There's fake blood. I mean, come on. Let's get gritty. Let's blow up some shit and do something for real. Like, it takes me out of it every time I see all these CGI Jeeps and tankers blow up.
Yeah.
You know? And you would think, in the spirit of like a grindhouse movie where you take all these inspirations and you pay homage to it, you would think they would do a better job than what they're doing, because every single 80s movie that they're referencing is better.
Yeah.
Than, I mean, I would rather watch Universal Soldier or Terminator or Octagon any day of the week over Expendables 2.
Maybe that's kind of what this is, though. It's just them trying to, you know, remind people.
Right.
And now that we're at a point, too, where, like, Blu-ray is really starting to fill out its catalog.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, this is a chance for them to be like, for younger guys to see these movies and be like, oh, I wonder what else, you know, had this guy in it, this guy in it, and they go check them out. So
my final rating here is going to be 2 bananas, 1 coconut, 3 shidoshis.
Whoa.
That's right.
Whoa.
And 1 throw of salt powder in the eye.
Now you're just being ridiculous.
I'm sorry.
But you said it, so it is.
There it is.
All right.
All right.
I don't have a rating for this movie because I'm not going to see it. So.
And Tim, you didn't see it. You were too busy building things.
Yes. Yeah, that's correct.
Right.
Yeah.
So this movie gets the rating from Tim and I of not getting our money.
Right. You guys know the premise of why we started doing the transmissions, right? Was to watch movies and talk about them to that.
Hey, man.
Is it just me?
I'm busy.
I mean, I'm in a fucking bubble over here. I'm sorry.
I'm still watching other movies. Just, you know, rewatching ones I really like.
Fine.
I don't think you understand the time this canute is taking.
All right. Before we move on, let's take a time out to recognize the folks that keep the generators running and the spear-wielding natives at bay. Geeks of Doom has all the best geek-related scoops on comics, movies, television, and pop culture paraphernalia. Help us avoid certain death and help us build a canoe by visiting geeksofdoom.com. Now, back to the show.
Don't throw up in a bubble.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
Because you are definitely cleaning
it up. Goddamn dragonflies.
I've noticed that the bubble seems to be getting larger.
Well.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a lot of...
Should we be worried about that?
It's actually fogging up, too. Like, I'm having a hard time seeing you guys because I'm doing a lot of heavy breathing.
This may be the key to our escape from this.
Oh,
island.
Man.
Hey, look, just because we talked about Paranorman doesn't mean you can pull some James and the Giant Peach shit and roll me out of this thing.
What are you going to do about it? You're stuck in a bubble. Start calling you John Travolta. He's in the original Bubble Boy.
Please don't.
Okay.
I do like massages, though. Remake this. That's the game we're going to be playing here.
Yes, yes. Should we explain some of the inspiration for this?
If that's what you want to call it. I want to write a letter to my congressman.
Yeah.
Do we have a congressman? Tim? Do we have a congressman on the island? Do we have any heads of state? I mean, I know the natives got their chief.
I think that he would be considered a dictator. I don't think that we have a representative of any kind.
Regardless
of the congressman.
Yeah.
Universal Studios thinks it's a good idea to remake David Cronenberg's Videodrome.
Yes.
Videodrome starring James Woods and Deborah Harry.
Yes.
It was just listed as part of,
This is happening. It just gets worse. It just gets so much worse.
All right.
It was just listed as one of Sight and Sound's top 250 films.
Right.
Of all time.
Right.
It's got a Criterion Collection release.
A very, very cool Criterion Collection release.
Yeah, gorgeous. And Universal Studios wants to remake it with a first-time Swedish film director named Adam Berg.
Yeah, who's known essentially for his commercials, which, granted, some of them, I was watching a couple, they do have some sort of, like, you know, Cronenberg, like, 80s art, sci-fi look to him, but I don't know.
You know, the director doesn't really bother me that much.
Yeah.
What bothers me is the writer, Aaron Kruger, who's responsible for Transformers, Revenge of the Fallen, and Dark of the Moon.
Well, it actually gets worse.
It's not. This is not possible.
Because they've already said that they're going to focus on nanotechnology.
They want to make it a large-scale sci-fi action-adventure. That's
right.
The buzzword for what they want the movie to be. Because it worked so well with Total Recall.
This has led us to go ahead and basically just ruin these, you know, some movies that we think are good.
Right. Let's just remake everything.
So we're just gonna pick some movies off a list.
Right.
And some of these were sent to us by our listeners, and thank you for doing that for us. And some of them were just kind of, we threw some names in a hat.
Yep.
Pulled them out. So first on the list, Casablanca.
Well, I think obviously the first thing you do is you get Dax Shepard in there.
Oh, yeah.
I think he's a great choice.
Well, if it's Dax Shepard, then we should go ahead and put his fiance in for the Ingrid Bergman role with Kristen Bell.
Oh,
So
wait, they're engaged?
Yeah, they've been engaged for like 3 or 4 years, I think.
Kristen, what are you doing?
I don't know.
Kristen, he was in Punk'd.
You know what, though? He's not terrible on Parenthood. I don't want to admit that, but it's true.
Wow.
Regardless.
All right. So we're remaking Casablanca.
Yeah.
With a married couple, engaged couple, Dax Shepard.
Does this take place in Casablanca?
Present day takes place.
Present day
in Dayton, Ohio.
Dayton, Ohio.
Yeah, that's right.
In Dayton, Ohio.
It's called Casablanca because that's the name of a pizza joint that they met at.
Yeah, and it's called Casablanca. And
because no one is known for their pizza more than Ohio.
Right.
If you haven't had Ohio pizza, you haven't lived.
And Kristen Bell is in town because she's following her favorite NASCAR racer.
Yeah.
And she needs tickets.
I like this. I like where it's
to
going.
The big race.
Yeah. There's all kinds of cameos in this movie, too. Like, you've already hit on two key demographics, which actually might be the same demographic. People that like Dax Shepard, people that like NASCAR.
Yeah.
Pretty sure that's the same demographic.
Right.
So what do you
do? And live in Ohio.
Exactly. So you have to appeal to that demographic. Mm-hmm. You're going to have a cameo from Nickelback in this movie. Chad Kroeger.
Yeah. Chad Kroeger has got to be in this.
He's like the chef at the pizza place.
No.
No?
He plays the piano.
Yeah, you're right. Which is actually
terribly. He plays it terribly.
I don't think there's a piano in this film.
I think you're right. I think it's like a
No, there's always some random reference to the old version. There's always something like that.
I imagine it's like a Casio keyboard.
Right. Yeah.
He's like, look at this photograph.
Or is it a key guitar? A keytar.
Every time I do it makes me laugh.
Is it a keytar?
It is a keytar.
That's a pretty good impression.
Yeah, well,
it's a keytar.
I toured with them between 2003 and 2004.
Oh, okay.
But things didn't work out.
That's really weird. Does anybody remember the short guy with glasses from Murphy Brown? Because he should play the Peter Laurie role.
I was going to bring that up. I was going to ask who's going to be Peter Laurie.
Whoever that guy is.
If it was something that made sense, it would be Michael Shannon.
Michael Shannon? No, he's not tiny enough. Peter Laurie was
too
a tiny
good.
Man.
Hobbit tricks. You can make him small.
Tricks.
That's what they call it.
I feel like that was a black magic card you just played. Yeah, seriously.
Next movie.
Next movie is Willow.
Willow.
Ron Howard's magical fantasy film starring Warwick Davis and Val Kilmer.
I think that we should keep the fantasy element in this one.
Okay.
Who plays Willow?
Well, I mean, let's all be real here.
I think I know what you're going to say. Elijah Wood.
Yes, that's exactly what I was going to say. Because, you know, we've already established
Hobbit tricks.
So
it'll get you.
We're
get
good.
You real quick.
Yeah, yeah. So Elijah Wood is
Zac Efron. What?
Zac Efron.
But, and again, another obvious choice,
because
he just played the Huntsman, is Chris Hemsworth. Thor himself is Mad Morgan.
Yeah. I was thinking Ashton Kutcher.
Man, the Punk'd references are just off this.
Oh, yeah. I didn't even think about that.
Yeah.
That's why that was in my subconscious.
Yeah.
Thanks.
And Demi Moore is the queen.
Oh, my God.
Wait.
Yeah.
I don't know.
And isn't there some crazy knight? I can't remember. I haven't seen
There's a guy with the skull face. Whoa.
Bruce Willis.
Whoa, skull face.
Interesting. Bruce Willis.
Dun, dun.
Well, I mean, if we were doing a family reunion.
Yeah, sure.
Ashton Kutcher, Demi Moore, Bruce Willis, and we'll just get Rumor Willis to play Willow.
Wait, maybe the name is instead of Willow, it's called Willis.
Willis? Nailed it.
Nailed it.
All right, the next one is
Rush Hour.
Rush Hour.
It originally starred Chris Tucker
and
Jackie Chan.
So I feel like because Brett Ratner has already proven he's so good at taking on series or, you know, remaking things.
Sure.
Because Red Dragon's essentially a remake of Manhunter.
It's true.
I think that Brett Ratner should direct the remake of Rush Hour. And I think it should star Jet Li,
sure.
Obviously.
He just retired, but that's fine.
He retired from Kung Fu films. Not films with Kung Fu in them. There's a difference.
Whoa.
Yeah, it took me a really long time to figure that out. But I'm serious. Okay. That is not a joke.
Game on.
That is a legitimate conversation he had with himself one day.
Man, I'm enlightened.
Jet Li and Kevin Hart.
Oh, you got me.
Nailed it.
I'm in.
Yeah.
I love Kevin Hart.
Right.
I'm in.
Right.
Can Cat Williams also be in it?
He's an informant.
Wasn't Chris Penn in those movies, or was he in the first one? Sean Penn's brother, didn't he play like a cop or something?
Maybe.
I don't know.
I don't know. I don't even remember what they're about.
No, I tell you what you're thinking of. You're thinking of the Chris Kattan comedies.
You mean,
I swear.
Tim's on a whole other level this week.
Wait, are you referencing, what was that movie, Corky Romano?
Yeah.
That's it. That's what you're thinking of. I swear.
You guys want some cookies?
That's the only thing anybody remembers from that movie.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Is you guys want some cookies?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Well, yeah, I love the idea of Kevin Hart. And is Jet Li, I guess, is that the best we can do?
Yeah, is there someone else?
Because he's old.
What about the guy from Ong Bak?
Whoa.
Oh, man.
Now we got something.
Modernized. You're welcome.
And Brett because Ratner, Kevin Hart is so short, they'll make a lot of little jokes about him being
they
so
will.
Short.
Well, Ong Bak guy is really short, too. I'm sure he has a name. I don't feel comfortable calling him Ong Bak guy.
Right.
What's his name? Tony Jaa.
Nailed it.
I did. That's really it. It's got two A's.
Two A's, just like the Alcoholics Anonymous meeting that Tim will be going to later.
Yeah. Yeah. And telling all these wonderful jokes.
I'm actually Skyped in on that now.
Well, congratulations all around.
Yeah.
We've all did some fine work.
We have all did some
the
fine work.
The sad thing is, as absurd as these ideas sound, they're all extremely possible.
Yeah.
If we're going to remake Videodrome, which will probably star someone like Bradley Cooper. I'm just gonna put it out there.
God, you're probably so right.
Bradley Cooper
so
in the
sad.
James Wood role, and then Deborah Harry. I don't know. You know what though? What could turn me around on it? What if Lady Gaga plays Deborah Harry?
Oh,
part?
Whoa.
That could get serious.
Yeah.
Nothing could draw me into this.
Yeah, you're right. My thing is if you're going to make a movie a large-scale sci-fi action-adventure about nanotechnology, why do you have to call it Videodrome?
Just make it.
There's
just
no...
Just make your own movie.
I mean, wouldn't that be called Nanodrome?
Whoa! Nailed it! As always, you can call the Skullface Island hotline at 980-272-0111 or email us at skullfaceisland@gmail.com. And don't forget to tweet us using the Skullface Island hashtag.
So Tim,
uh-huh.
What colors are you thinking about putting on that canoe?
Well, I'm not going to do colors because they'll wash and fade in the sun. What I'm doing is I'm carving at different depths to be able to create an entire landscape.